This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Thursday, January 5th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. As always, have a lot to do today. We're going to start with the record-breaking Orange Bowl game, which was a record-breaking bowl game of all time for BCS Bowls. West Virginia down 7-0, down 14-7, down 17-14 to Clemson after the first quarter. Roars back with an offensive juggernaut. West Virginia 70, Clemson 33. Just a wild game. A lot of people are saying today that it turned on one play, and there certainly was a key play to the game, but when the final 70-33, hard to say that Clemson would have won the game but for this play. Having said that, Clemson's up 17-14. West Virginia takes the lead 21-17. Clemson drives down the field, first and goal from the three-yard line. Andre Ellington of Clemson looks like he's running in for the touchdown. You had players, not officials, but you had players raising their hands, players on Clemson raising their hands as if they had scored a touchdown. But somehow, before he hit the ground and he didn't cross the goal line, the ball was stripped. Darwin Cook of West Virginia either picked it up or took it out of Ellington's hands, even with stop action, slow motion. It was hard to tell. But Cook took the ball and ran it the other way about 99 yards for a touchdown. So that was the big 14-point turnaround. Instead of Clemson maybe going in for the score to go up 24-21, West Virginia went all the way back the other way to go up 28-17. And then it was just, you know, West Virginia just ran over Clemson. They scored a total of 35 points in the second quarter. The 49 points that they scored in a half was the new bowl record for BCS Bowls. The 69 points in the half was also a bowl record. The 70 points eclipsed, you know, last week Baylor with the Heisman Trophy winner Griffin scored 67. Well, West Virginia scores 70 and breaks that record, which lasts, you know, for all of 5 days. But West Virginia 70, Clemson 33, just the further ineptitude, if you will, of the ACC in bowl games. I mean, they can't win anything. West Virginia 3-0 in BCS bowls now. Again, just an absolute slaughter. Geno Smith, quarterback for West Virginia, 31 for 42, 401 yards, 6 touchdown passes, no interceptions. And not to take away from what he did, but about 3 of those passes, I think 3 of them were little shovel passes that literally went a yard. And then whoever took it, usually Tavon Austin, whoever took it ran it in for a touchdown. Tavon Austin with 4 touchdown receptions. 2 of them were shovel passes, but that's okay. You know, that's fine. It is going to kind of pump up your passing statistics, though, when you just flip the ball 1 yard forward. That's a pass. You see the shovel pass in the NFL. Sometimes it's usually a 3 or 4 yard pass towards the line of scrimmage. These were literally a guy coming by. You think he's going to get the handoff. The quarterback flips it forward to him. That's a pass. So Geno Smith, 6 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Taj Boyd for Clemson, 24 for 46, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But the Cook play where he took the ball from Ellington or picked it up after Ellington fumbled it and ran it back 99 yards was the key play of the game. But again, when the final is 70-33, hard to say that one play was dispositive of the game. Obviously, you have to think West Virginia was going to run over Clemson at some point anyway. But that was the biggest play in the game, without question, turned a potential Clemson lead. And again, they were leading at the quarter, 17-14. And then, of course, got outscored 56-16 the rest of the game. So Austin with 4 touchdowns, 11 receptions for 117 yards. And again, those are quasi runs to me. You know, his rushing stats were 4 for 46 yards, no touchdowns. His receiving numbers were 11 for 117, four touchdowns, which is fine. Ellington had a good game other than that one play, Andre Ellington, who fumbled on the goal line or near the goal line. He had 10 carries for 116 yards and a touchdown for Clemson. But again, the offensive juggernaut overran everything else in this game, 103 points combined. West Virginia, 70. Eclipses Baylor, 67 of a week ago. And it's just part of the changing face, I think, of football. You know, college football, pro football, we focus more on the pros, of course. The rules in the NFL in the last 5, 10, 15 years make it a lot easier for offenses to score. You can't hit a defenseless receiver. You can't hit the quarterback high or low. You know, low is the Tom Brady rule when he got hurt. High, of course, helmet to helmet is not allowed. And again, people will say those rules were in place, at least the helmet to helmet stuff was in place for a long time, just wasn't enforced. But now that it is enforced, you really have to be careful when you're going after the quarterback. It's very hard, much harder now to play defense than it was even 10 years ago, never mind 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. So as we discussed, I agree with the people who think Dan Marino's 5,000-plus yards is much more impressive than Tom Brady's or Drew Brees, who now holds the record, or Matthew Stafford's. But I also pointed out, as we discussed, Joe Namath's 4,000-plus yards in a 14-game season is as impressive or more impressive to me than Dan Marino's 5,000 or whatever Brees and Brady and Matthew Stafford might have finished with. So the game has changed. I think there's a view generally, and I think it's true, that people prefer offense. I don't know if you want to see 70 to 33. I don't know if you want to see 67-56, the Baylor game. Personally, I don't, you know, it becomes like a video game. But again, the offenses do have the big advantages now. The rules are skewed in their favor. The calls, I don't want to say are skewed in their favor, but the calls come much more frequently now than they did even a few years ago. There is correctly a lot more concern about concussions, et cetera, so you do want to protect defenseless receivers over the middle. You do obviously want to protect the quarterback, and it is a quarterback-driven sport. No matter what anyone says, the NFL and college, it's essentially a quarterback-driven sport. You saw what happened to the Colts this year when they lost one of the best of all time, Peyton Manning. But when you take the top QBs out of the game, it's obviously horrible for those teams, but they're horrible games to watch. So I understand the protection of the quarterbacks and agree with it. The defenseless receivers, yes. But again, the rules, you know, the illegal contact downfield, the incidental contact that is often called pass interference. You know, I think they run plays now on purpose where the quarterback will underthrow their receiver, so the receiver who's sprinting downfield stops, runs back towards the ball, and by definition he's going to run into the cornerback. And that's always a pass interference call on the cornerback. And those rules are not going to change. You know, decades ago, I've said a number of times that Don Hutson, the guy who played for the Packers, I didn't see him play, I've just seen film in the 40s and 50s. I think he was the greatest receiver of all time because back then you could knock a guy downfield at any time. You could hit a guy 20 yards down the field. So, yes, Jerry Rice, greatest receiver ever. Look at his numbers. Yes, yes, yes. But do some research on the rules and the way they were and what guys had to deal with. But, again, flash forward to today. It was much easy. It's much easier today for wide receivers down the field than it was 5 or 10 or 20 or certainly 40 or 50 years ago. So West Virginia 70, Clemson 33 in the Orange Bowl. Obviously all of this, I'll say it again, as good as some of these bowl games are, this wasn't a particularly good one, of course, but as good as some of these bowl games are, to me, they're all meaningless. You know, you can say, oh, that's a good game. That's a good game. Number three plays number five. Number seven plays number 10, whatever it is. But it leads to nothing. It leads to no tomorrow. That's why, again, the beauty of a playoff, which is in every other football division but Division One. Even if it's only four, I'll say it again, even if it's only four or eight teams. Again, if you had LSU playing Oregon or Stanford, who was number four, I think Oregon was better than Stanford, obviously. And then you had Alabama play Oklahoma State, which really was the big debate. Shouldn't Oklahoma State get a chance? Their only loss was to Iowa State right after that plane crash with the Oklahoma State women's basketball coach and his top assistant. Obviously, that shook up the team. They lost to Iowa State in Iowa State, and then Iowa State lost to Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl. You know, you have all these 6-6, 7-5 teams playing in bowl games. To me, that's absurd. But if they had a 4- or 8-team playoff, you wouldn't have all these comments that you're getting now. And look, I would even make the argument that LSU playing at the Superdome is almost like a home game. But ticket-wise, I think they're spread out. It's not going to be as easy, and certainly not at LSU. The Alabama game was in Tuscaloosa, was in Alabama. Was at Alabama's home stadium, and LSU won that game. So it'll be interesting. I know a lot of people are rooting for a close game, so if Alabama wins, they can say they're not the national. Alabama is not the national championship, not the national champion winner. Again, all of this could be rectified with a small playoff. I understand from the politics of the bowl system that's not going to happen. I would suggest, again, that they take the top four bowls. You know, let the Rose Bowl be the championship game this year. Let the Orange Bowl be the championship game next year. Let the Sugar Bowl be the championship game the year after. But that seems to fall on deaf ears. There's too much money involved. Too many teams get to play. And people say if you had an 8-team playoff or a 4-team playoff, it would make the other bowl games meaningless. Well, most of these bowl games are meaningless already. What are they really? We only have 1 or 2 or 3 teams that are really national championship worthy this year. I think Oklahoma State got the shaft. And again, if you look at the view of their one loss, had they not lost, they'd be playing LSU. If you look at the circumstances of that one loss, very strange circumstances, of course. Recruiting plane crash, women's basketball coach of Oklahoma State dies, top assistant dies. 3 days later, I think it was, Oklahoma State has to go play at Iowa State. They lose. Iowa State, not a very good team, frankly. And so Oklahoma State doesn't get in because of that loss. Alabama's only loss, of course, was to LSU. But in Alabama, Oklahoma State lost on the road. And we've discussed it at length. The two best teams in the country probably are LSU, Alabama. But it seems to me if Alabama wins next Monday, they should go play a third game in California or somewhere. Some people come up with that plus one idea. But in this case, the plus one to me would be if Alabama beats LSU, then they're 1-1. Let them go play a third time, which would still give Oklahoma State the shaft. So again, the playoff solves all these problems. An 8-team playoff would be great. A 14 playoff would be acceptable. 16, I don't think, is feasible under the system. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen with something that has nothing to do with the actual playing of football games. Division II does a playoff. Division III does a playoff. You can watch the championship game every year on TV. All the other sports, as I know, as far as I know, have some sort of playoff system. Yet definitely the most important college sport, college football, and the best teams in college football, Division I teams, don't have such a playoff. So you'll hear the usual ridiculous. Again, a lot of people are hoping for a close game and Alabama wins by a point on a field goal in the last second to decry the system. And I'll say it again, if they had a plus one game this year and Alabama beat LSU, Alabama and LSU should go to a neutral site. Alabama lost in Alabama. LSU lost in the Superdome, not the same as home, but 82 miles from LSU. And let them go play in the Rose Bowl next week, a week from Monday. But, of course, that's just a pipe dream. That's just not going to happen given the politics of the situation. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at sportstalknetwork.com. We'll be back after these messages.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford. Mondays at 4 p.m. on sportstalknetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly. Monday nights at 6 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to switch to some NFL stuff and the big news in New York. Top stuff on all the talk shows. Big news in the sports section is the fact that Greg McElroy, who actually hurt his thumb, the former Alabama quarterback who was on the Jets roster this year but hurt his thumb and was on IR all year, didn't play this year, led Alabama to the national championship in 2010, you'll recall. He had some strong things to say about the Jets locker room, some very negative things. He was on a talk show in Birmingham, Alabama, and he had a number of, and I'm not saying any of them are untrue, it's just interesting, a guy in his position, that is a third or fourth quarterback who didn't play in the league, who wants to play in the league. He did say, it's the quote, "It's the first time I've ever been around extremely selfish individuals." And also close, quote, "There were people within our locker room that didn't care whether we won or lost as long as they really had a good game." And, you know, given everything you hear about the Jets and Santonio Holmes and the way he acted, you got to think that's right. The knock on the Jets, and we've talked about it in the last year at various times, the knock on the Jets is they let so many high-quality, high-character guys go. And they brought in a lot of questionable guys, like a Santonio Holmes. I mean, just off the top of my head, they let Thomas Jones, a very good running back, go. Alan Faneca, Jericho Cotchery, a longtime Jet team leader who's really, frankly, revived his career with the Steelers and a fan favorite in New York. And there are other guys. But to let all those guys go, it hurt the team on the field, but it absolutely also hurt the team off the field, in the locker room. Where's the leadership? Mark Sanchez, not a leader. Doesn't matter what you hear, not a leader. As we've discussed all season, his improvement arrow has not pointed up all year. And a lot of people are saying he even regressed. I think Brian Schottenheimer's getting a bad rap in New York, but he's got the bad rap. And that is, I believe, that he protected Sanchez the first 2 years, had him moving in the pocket, rollouts, play action, was able to give him a lot of easy throws. He's still unable, in my opinion, Mark Sanchez, to drop back, read one, two, three receivers, and throw the ball down the field successfully. He didn't do it this year. And you don't know if he's going to do it next year. They brought in Plaxico, who was okay. Okay to good, not great. Finally threw it to him in the red zone later in the season. Santonio Holmes was a bust this year. They gave him a ton of money. I think his contract's for $45 million, 25 of it guaranteed. Who's taking that contract? So the Jets are a mess. I think, you know, the people are knocking McElroy. He's a scrub. Who is he to speak up? But, and I'm not saying he should have, that may not be the best career move for him. But I don't think anybody doubts what he's saying. He even said there was a, quote, "corrupt mindset," close quote, in the locker room. I mean, these are very, very strong words. And I think most people think they're true. So now you hear Rex Ryan, "I didn't have my finger on the pulse of the team. I have to get more involved with the offense." He didn't even know that Santonio Holmes was taken out of the last game, which Schottenheimer took him out of the last game because he had been yelling at Sanchez during the week. He got into an argument in the huddle with an offensive lineman. And, you know, that kind of fits right in with the essentially I'm getting mine, I don't care if we win or lose attitude that McElroy was talking about yesterday on the radio in Alabama. But again, McElroy maybe doesn't quite get it. Somehow maybe he didn't think this would get north to New York from Alabama. It's going to be hard, in my opinion, for him to walk into the locker room if some of these guys are still around, even though he's right. You know, if you're a starter or if you're a star player and you say things like that, it's one thing. If you're a seventh-round pick who was third or fourth on the quarterback depth chart, who couldn't play it down because of a thumb injury, well, that's quite another. Hard to believe he's going to be a Jet next year, but that's just my opinion. A few other things going on in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger practicing yesterday, but he had a limp. He said he aggravated that ankle against the Browns. Again, I think it was a tough choice whether to play him or not. They still wanted to take a shot at the number two seed, so that was very important. They squeaked by the Browns, but, of course, the Ravens beat the Bengals. So it didn't matter what the Steelers did. They were going to be the fifth seed anyway. But, you know, Roethlisberger's a gamer. He's a tough guy. But if this hurts him this week, and again, nobody thinks Denver's going to score more than 3 or 7 points, if that, against the Steelers. So you may not have to generate a lot of offense. In fact, some people think the defense will generate more points than the Denver offense. You got to think Fox and Elway are going to have something up their sleeve. Can Tebow do something right? I don't know. You know, you give Tebow a ton of credit for all the games he won, the leadership, the ability to make plays, even the ability to throw a TD pass once in a while. You know, you can say all you want about his inaccuracy, but because they run two-thirds of the time, he has a chance to make plays in the passing game. I think against the Steelers, they're going to have to go play action on first down to get some kind of offense going. But it's hard to believe Denver's going to generate a lot of offense given what they've done in the past and given the fact that, of course, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. The Patriots' Bill O'Brien, who used to be the quarterback's coach, now the offensive coordinator, and still I think the quarterback's coach. Remember Tom Brady and he were screaming at each other a few weeks ago. It's interesting. He's become the leading candidate for Penn State. Penn State, despite denying that, apparently are going to interview him today or tomorrow, and they're prepared to make him a big offer. But also, the Jacksonville Jaguars have asked permission to interview him for the head coaching job there. So it's really all about where O'Brien wants to be. Does he want to go back to the college game and try and resurrect Penn State? He did not play at Penn State. He played at Brown. And don't forget Joe Paterno played at Brown as well. But I would think if you work as an assistant to Bill Belichick for a number of years, as he has for the last five, prior to that he was a college assistant, my guess is you'd want to take your shot in the NFL if you can get it. But Bill O'Brien apparently is going to be in a very good position. Apparently Penn State is going to make him an offer, and the Jaguars are at least considering him. So he'll be gone next year from the New England sidelines. So we'll see what happens with him. Bart Scott was fined $10,000. If you saw the films last week, he gave a photographer the finger at the Jet game, surely out of frustration, you know, with the Jets losing to Miami in the final game of the year, killing all, any playoff hopes they might have had. Scott, an emotional guy, gets fined $10,000 for giving a photographer the finger. And on a much more serious note, Sam Hurd, former wide receivers of the Bears, has been indicted by a federal grand jury in Dallas, Texas, for various drug-related offenses where he can get anywhere from 40 years to life, cocaine possession, conspiracy to possess cocaine, things of that nature. He's free on $100,000 bail, but this doesn't end well for Sam Hurd, formerly the Chicago Bears wide receiver. Again, we'll do more of the playoff games tomorrow. We'll give you some picks. Already, you know, the Bengals at the Texans. Now, the other big news that just came across the wires like 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, Andy Dalton, the Bengals quarterback, has had a very good rookie year. And I think the Bengals can beat the Texans, but we'll have to see what Dalton's health is tomorrow. He was in the hospital yesterday with the flu for two reasons. They wanted to give him IVs all day yesterday, but also they wanted to keep him away from the rest of the Bengals. You don't want one of those things sweeping through a team two or three days before a playoff game. Unfortunately for the Bengals, Saturday at 4:30, not Sunday. That extra day could be big for a guy like Dalton getting over the flu. Unable to practice yesterday, that's bad. You know, your first playoff game, you're a rookie quarterback, you did have a good year. The Texans do have a good defense. But because of the Texans quarterback situation, I think the Bengals have a chance, even though they're on the road, even though the Texans are the higher seed. But I think it's all going to be contingent on Andy Dalton and his health. We'll have to see what that is. We'll try and get the latest report tomorrow, right before we go on the air at noon. But certainly I do give the Bengals on Saturday a chance. to beat the Texans. The other Saturday game, of course, Lions going to New Orleans. I give the Lions very little chance. Again, we went over the New Orleans numbers yesterday. They're just staggering. At home, winning by an average of 23 points per game, 8-0, beat four playoff teams at home. Saturday night primetime game on NBC, Drew Brees shattered Dan Marino's record. Lions torched by Matt Flynn last week, so there's lots of film to watch if they want to watch it. But New Orleans just needs to do what they do, and a lot of people are now picking them to beat Green Bay, if and when they play Green Bay. But again, anybody who went down to play New Orleans in New Orleans wasn't going to win or isn't going to win. The line is very big. It's like 10.5, I think. But that's just a reflection of the fact that, again, New Orleans is 8-0 at home. They win by an average of 23 points per game. And the Lions couldn't stop Matt Flynn's 6 touchdown passes last week in a game they really wanted to win to move up to play the Giants. You'd certainly rather, although I think the Giants are a big threat too. We'll get into those games tomorrow with the Falcons, as well as Denver and Pittsburgh. But the Giants, everybody in New York now saying they can get on one of these rolls. It's reminiscent of when they won the Super Bowl. They did beat Green Bay in Green Bay when Favre threw that ridiculous interception in overtime, you'll recall. But that was a very, very unlikely run to the Super Bowl, which they won and had one of the greatest upsets ever when they beat the 18-0 Patriots. It'd be very hard to see that, although they certainly can beat the Falcons this week. But you can understand the Lions would rather go into New York to play the Giants than they would go. They'd rather go to New York than to New Orleans to play the Saints. But they couldn't beat the Packers with their backup quarterback who's going to get a job somewhere. Remember Matt Flynn last year played against the Patriots that one game in Foxborough and almost beat the Patriots. So I don't think he's a fluke. I just think he needs an opportunity. So we'll have to wait for that. But, yes, Saturday, 4:30, Bengals at Texans. Saturday, 8 p.m., Lions at Saints, both on NBC. Sunday at 1 on Fox, Falcons go into the Meadowlands to play the Giants. Sunday at 4:30 on CBS, Steelers go into Denver. And, again, the Steelers have some issues. No Mendenhall. Big Ben still hobbled. No Ryan Clark, you heard about that. He's got that sickle cell trait that's a blood disorder that does not allow him to play at high altitudes. He tried it a number of years ago and got very sick in Denver. Since then, they had kept him out. I think it was a regular season game one time and an exhibition game one time. And Mike Tomlin and the medical staff made the decision, a correct one, not to have Clark play in Denver on Sunday. So we'll touch on those games again tomorrow, but to me the major factor from what we've heard so far is A, the health of Ben Roethlisberger and that ankle, and B, the physical health fighting the flu of Andy Dalton, the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, you know, everyone says the Bengals didn't beat anybody, but they did play. You know, they had to play the Steelers twice, the you know, they played some very good teams, very tough this year. I guess that's the best way to say it. And they're a young team getting better all the time. Their rookies are no longer rookies. This A.J. Green out of Georgia is unbelievable. I think if you hear tomorrow that Dalton was able to practice, and again, it's hard to get over the flu in 24 hours, 48 hours. 72 hours. You go into the hospital, you get IVs. Obviously, he's getting all the medical help he can get to get healthy. But I think if he is healthy, and we'll discuss it tomorrow at noon, I think the Bengals can beat the Texans. Remember, the Texans have their own quarterback problems. So we're just going to have to see how it shakes out in that game. But we'll discuss more of that tomorrow. In fact, we'll discuss all four games in more detail tomorrow at noon. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Got a lot more to do. NBA, NHL, college basketball. We're going to do a couple of baseball notes. As we discussed briefly yesterday, Joe Torre officially resigned from his position for Bud Selig at Major League Baseball. He's now joining a real estate group that's trying to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think it's mistaken if you hear reports that Frank McCourt is the guy who decides who's going to buy the team. Actually, since it's in a bankruptcy matter, it'll be the bankruptcy judge at the end of the day who's going to have the final say on that. But there are a number of different groups, all of which have big names at the top, not necessarily the main guy, but certainly you need a face on the group. So Joe Torre, I'm sure he won't be putting up any or, if any, money, very little money, but he's leading this real estate group now. There's another group that has Magic Johnson involved. There's another group, as I'm sure you've heard, that has former Dodgers Oral Hershiser and Steve Garvey involved. Mark Cuban is the guy with the deep pockets who, you know, I would think they would want to have this guy in. He was on his best behavior last year when the Mavericks finally won a title. I don't think that's the reason the Mavericks won the title, but I do think that was like good karma that Mark Cuban finally shut up, and lo and behold, the Mavericks won. Although, you know, no Tyson Chandler, no J.J. Barea, no Deshaun Stevenson. I think they're in trouble this year, but they did win last year. Larry King is tangentially involved in another group, and of course, Peter O'Malley, who once owned the Dodgers, and of course going back to the 40s and 50s when his father owned the Dodgers when they were in Brooklyn and moved to Los Angeles, he's heading up another group. So there are 6 different groups at least, and every group has, you know, some big-name guys at the forefront. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But again, if you hear it's Frank McCourt's decision, I think that's incorrect. I think at the end of the day, it's a bankruptcy judge's decision as to which group is able to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. Another interesting move by the Miami Marlins, who are really, you know, that NL East. We always talk about the AL East with the Yankees and the Red Sox and Tampa Bay of late and how tough it is for teams like the Blue Jays and the Orioles. Well, the NL East this year, Carlos Zambrano now goes to Miami. Friends with Ozzie Guillen, the new manager. Apparently Miami is paying about 15 of the $18 million that Zambrano will get this year. You know, Zambrano, a great pitcher who loses his mind. Just things go bad, he loses his mind. You'd like to think he could grow up by now, but an excellent pitcher. With Josh Johnson there, won't be viewed to be the number one guy. I think Miami has thrown itself right into the mix with Philadelphia, of course, and Atlanta. We'll see how good Atlanta is this year after their epic collapse last year. But these are bad signs for a team like the Mets. You know, the Mets, frankly, are closer to Toronto or Baltimore in the NL East, like Toronto and Baltimore are in the AL East. And I'm not sure where the Nationals fit in. Nationals throwing some money around. They might get Prince Fielder. They gave Jason Worth all that money last year. They got back Strasburg at the end of the season. He's going to be a star. They got that kid Bryce Harper. We'll see if they bring him to the majors this year or not. But the NL East, you're going to be able to make a case, I think, that the NL East is the best division in baseball, because they might very well go 4 deep this year. And the Mets, you know, if they get back Santana, they haven't had their number one for all of last year and most of the year before. You know, the Mets will have to catch lightning in a bottle, but certainly if you can bring in someone like Santana, if he's healthy, and that remains a question, of course, but he would be, you know, drop him in every fifth day, and suddenly the Mets should be 10 games better than they already are, which, again, isn't going to be enough. But the NL East, I think, is going to be a fascinating division to watch in 2012 in Major League Baseball. A lot of games in the NBA yesterday. We'll focus on a few of them. Dwayne Wade doesn't play for the Miami Heat, has a bad ankle. Doesn't matter. They're playing the Pacers in Miami. The Pacers are a pretty good team. You expect them to take a jump forward this year. But yesterday, without Dwayne Wade, Miami hammers Indiana in Miami. The Heat 118, the Pacers 83. LeBron James goes off, 33 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, just misses a triple-double. Bosch, 22-6. Mario Chalmers, who's come a long way, we talked about him during the playoffs last year. He could be the legitimate point guard that this team needs. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Chalmers could be that guy. They also have that rookie Cole, who's a pretty good player. I don't know if you've seen him play. 10 points, 5 assists yesterday in 21 minutes. Udonis Haslem healthy. Shane Battier, another good addition. You know, they're putting a better group around the big three. And you got to like Miami to win the whole thing this year. You know, they had no training camp last year because Wade was hurt the whole training camp. They started 9-8, as you recall, and they got beat in the NBA Finals. So now with a year under their belt, with a full training camp, with a couple of other guys around them, and I think, again, I think Chalmers is a key part of this because I think he really advanced last year in the playoffs as an NBA point guard. And he certainly doesn't have to be great, but he's a pretty good player. 6-10 yesterday. 2-5 from three. Again, 14.6 rebounds, 3 assists. I think he's a key part of that because you do need the other guys around the big three to step up. Also, as we talked about last year, the fact that how terrible the big three were as three-point shooters. James, Wade, and Bosch were three, I think, of the four worst three-point shooters on the Miami Heat last year, and they took a lot of threes. This year, they've hardly taken any. James takes 21 shots last night, doesn't take a three. You can bet that's intentional. And people have talked about it all during the year, how few threes the big three are taking. Well, that's because they can't shoot them. You know, James Jones, 4-8 from three. Chalmers, 2-5 from three. Cole, 1-4 from three. But the big three, and I think this is going to be a large part of their success, to beat Miami, you might have to go zone and try and make them shoot threes. But they really don't want to shoot threes, and those guys, if nothing else, are intelligent. LeBron and Wade and Bosch, they're smart ball players. So clearly somebody did some film work over the winter. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out that they were poor three-point shooters. I wrote a couple of articles last season about their inaccuracy from three. So if you're playing them, you want to push them out to shoot threes. You got to play a zone to essentially do that. So we'll have to see. I think more and more teams will play zone against Miami as the season goes on. Miami moves to 6-1. Indiana, a pretty good team, gets blown out by 35 in Miami without Dwayne Wade. Indiana's now, they dropped to 4-2. But they're a pretty good team. They're a playoff team. One other interesting game, the Clippers getting a lot of pub. I don't think they're going to be better than the Lakers if Bynum is healthy. I think Kobe Bynum Gasol is better than Griffin Paul, and you fill in the third, Billups, Caron Butler. I don't know who you would use. Jordan, D'Andre Jordan? I don't know. I think it's still going to be the Lakers' town at the end of the year, but Griffin and Paul, arguably the best point guard, power forward combo in basketball. Clippers 117, Rockets 89. Griffin, a human highlight film, if you saw the highlights, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, an array of dunks, an array of alley-oops from Paul. Paul does what Paul does, 20 points, 10 assists. Chauncey Billups, who's getting good playing time. You know, he and Paul can play together. 23 minutes, 13 points, 4 assists for Billups. And Butler, a very good player as well. So the Clippers have a very good team. Houston has a nice team. I say this every year about Houston. They're in the wrong conference. Stick them in the East, they'd have a better chance. You know, Lowry's a legit NBA player now, 17 points, 5 assists. I think Kevin Martin is great. Didn't have a great game yesterday, 14 points, 2 assists, but he can light it up. Scola, who does a lot of the dirty work, 12 points. But they're not very deep in Houston, and again, I think they're in the wrong division. The Clippers go to 3-2. The Rockets go to 2-4. Just a few other games to mention briefly. The Magic hammer the Wizards, 103-85. What can you say about Dwight Howard? 28 points, 20 rebounds. I mean, he's just unbelievable. The Wizards going to have another tough year. 0-6 already. A lot of boos at Madison Square Garden. I watched the whole game. Even if you saw the highlights, you probably heard the boos. The Bobcats, after losing to the Cavaliers the night before, go into the Garden. I think they were averaging like 86 points a game. They score 118. Bobcats 118. Knicks 110. Stoudemire did come back. Boris Diaw, who I think was scoreless the night before against the Cavaliers, had 27 against the Knicks. DJ Augustine, a very fast, good NBA point guard, had 10 assists. Carmelo had 22 in the fourth, finished with 32. Knicks don't have a point guard. Tony Douglas isn't the answer. Shumpert got some time yesterday. The crowd was actually calling for him. They started booing when they took Douglas out. When they took Shumpert out and put Tony Douglas back in, the crowd chanted, "We want Shumpert." So there's already problems at the Garden. The Knicks 2-4, and they have a pretty weak schedule coming up. But they've just lost to the Raptors and the Bobcats back to back. Bobcats had one win till yesterday. They're now 2-4. A few other games. The 76ers, I think, a playoff team this year. Beat the Hornets 101-93. Holiday with 23. Elton Brand, 12 rebounds. Gordon at 22 for the Hornets. They're going nowhere. 76ers 3-2. Hornets 2-4. A few other games. The Spurs, no Ginobili, having surgery today. Will be out 6 to 8 weeks with that broken hand. Parker gets 21 points. Duncan gets 11 rebounds. Spurs 101. Warriors 95. Monte Ellis goes for 38 points. I think Mark Jackson's going to have some problems out there. Nuggets hammer the Kings 110-83. Cousins looking for a trade, had 26 points. Maybe the Kings are showcasing him now after suspending him for a game. Raptors beat the Cavaliers 92-77, 31 for Bargnani, a very good player. Doesn't get the credit he deserves. Celtics now 4-3, beat the Nets 89-70. Nets got big trouble now. You know, what are they going to do? They have a great point guard, that's all they have. I don't think they're going to get Dwight Howard to Brooklyn now. Going to be a long year for the Nets. They're 1-6 already. Bulls hammer the Pistons 99-83. Hamilton goes back. Rip Hamilton goes back to Detroit. Got a very nice ovation. He also had 14 points and 5 assists. Boozer had 19. Rose had 10 assists. 99-83. Bulls over the Pistons. Bulls 6-1. The Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves 90-86. Kevin Love, 27 points, 14 rebounds, but not enough for the Timberwolves. Ricky Rubio, 10 assists. Grizzlies, 5-3. I'm sorry, 3-3. Timberwolves, 2-4. Just a couple other games. We'll get to the college game. Mavericks beat the Suns, 98-89. Suns, I think, are just going to have their issues. Gortat, the big guy they got who used to back up Dwight Howard in Orlando, 22 points, 10 rebounds. Dirk gets 20 for Dallas and 7 assists. So that's pretty much your NBA. Early in the season, you know, we won't do the standings yet. But obviously things are kind of going the way that you thought now in terms of who's going to be where at one point. One huge upset in college basketball yesterday. Duke goes to Temple. Temple has a pretty good squad. Fran Dunphy's their coach. He coached Penn all those years. He knows the area. They got a pretty good squad at Temple. Number 3, Duke, loses to Temple 78-73. Temple shoots 56% from the field. Wyatt with 22 points and 5 steals. Jefferson with 17. You know, Coach K, very funny after the game. A guy asked him if you expected this kind of game, if you thought it could happen. And Coach K looked incredulous and then eventually said to him, "If I knew that, I would have called in sick." But Temple has a very good team. I think they're going to be ranked. They should be ranked. Maybe after this win, they will be ranked. But Temple 78, number 3, Duke 73. Syracuse goes up to Providence in the Big East. Providence actually up 2 at the half. But Brandon Trish scores 16. Scoop Jardine, 10 points, 11 and assists. Syracuse comes back to hammer Providence in the second half. Syracuse 87, Providence 73. Very good game we discussed yesterday. If you had a chance to see it, I said before the game, Georgetown, a very good team. And then Marquette, also ranked in the top 20, is up 14 at the half. But Georgetown comes back in the second half. They do have a very good team. They are a top 10 team. Georgetown 73, Marquette 70. Hollis Thompson with a huge three in the final minute for Georgetown. Henry Sims, 13 points, 5 assists. Clark has 26 for Georgetown. They're a very good team. John Thompson III, a very good underrated coach. Not the bluster of his father, but a very good coach. Georgetown is a top 10 team. I think you're going to hear from them this year and in the tournament. Kansas State with Crazy Frank Martin as the coach, maybe the most intense guy in college basketball. They go to Kansas hoping against hope for a win. No chance. This Thomas Robinson of Kansas is a beast, 15 points, 14 rebounds. Watch him play. He's a pro. Kansas out-rebounds Kansas State 50-26. Kansas buries Kansas State 67-49. And Frank Martin, being Frank Martin, after the game says, "I've never coached any team, including a team of 13-year-olds that I coached, that ever got more physically beaten up, outplayed, than this Kansas State team last night. Won't be a pretty day of practice today at Kansas State." One other game, a good team to watch if you get a chance to watch them, because they got no pub at the beginning of the year. They're now 15-0. The Murray State Racers, ranked 18th in the country, and they should be going up. Shoot 8 for 17 from 3. They beat Eastern Kentucky 76-67. Isaiah Cannon goes over the 1,000-point mark for Murray State. You know, they're usually that team that gets into the dance and doesn't do any damage this year. You can expect them to get a higher seed. They really have a good team. If you get a chance to watch them play, you'll enjoy watching them play. And, you know, there's so many games on TV now, one would expect that you will get some chances to see them play. I did want to talk briefly about St. John's, because it's really become just a terrible situation. Steve Lavin has been unable to coach. He came back too early. He watched the game against Louisville from a luxury box in the Garden the other day. Now he's not sure if he'll return soon, if at all, this year. He lost three of his players. Three of his recruits couldn't become eligible. So it's going to be a lost season for the Red Storm. They're just not going to be able to compete in the Big East, and they don't have their coach on the sidelines. So that's a big problem. It's almost going to be a write-off year, I think, for St. John's. Obviously, you're going to go out and compete and hope for the best, but they're going to have some big problems. One soccer note, Tim Howard, the American-born soccer goalie who's good enough to play in the English Premier League. He's from New Jersey. He scored a goal yesterday, the longest goal in the history of the English Premier League. If you saw the highlight, he kicked the ball from just in front of his own goal. He probably kicked it, I'm going to guess, 75 yards in the air. It took a gigantic bounce over the goaltender for Bolton, who was, you know, 40, 50 feet out of the goal. Bounced over his head and into the net. It's the longest goal in the history of the English Premier League. Just a bizarre play. Again, we don't do a lot of soccer, but if you see the highlights of that player, you could probably Google Tim Howard goal or something like that and see it. Just, you know, caught the other goaltender sleeping, frankly. So Tim Howard becomes the fourth goalie to ever score in the Premier League, but it's the longest goal in the history of the English Premier League. Quickly to the NHL, just a couple of games last night. Montreal buries Winnipeg 7-3. If you watched even the highlights of this game, Lars Eller scored his 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th goals of the season. With his 4th goal of the game, coming at 11 minutes of the third period, he made an unbelievable spin-a-rama move on a penalty shot to beat Pavlik, the Winnipeg goalie. Just a coming-out party for Lars Eller, only 22 years old. Andrew Ladd had his 13th for Winnipeg, but not enough. Montreal 7, Winnipeg 3. Another game, Roberto Luongo, the up-and-down Roberto Luongo, shuts out Minnesota yesterday, Vancouver 3. Minnesota nothing. Minnesota, very good team. One of the top teams point-wise in the NHL this year. But again, a hot Luongo can often be the difference between Vancouver playing great and playing poorly. You know what he did in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, but collapsed in Game 7 when they lost. Daniel Sedin gets his 18th. His brother Henrik Sedin, the best assist guy in the NHL, gets 2 assists. Manny Malhotra, the former Ranger, gets an open net goal at the end. Vancouver 3, Minnesota nothing. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.